Let's do this.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
'Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. This is available on thechairshot.com, your home for all that you need to know of pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. Hopefully, this is where you found the show. I don't know if you found it some other avenue. If you did, let me know, because I'm not sure where this lives on the internet sometimes. Hopefully not on the dark internet. That would be weird. Not that I know where the dark internet is. I'm not even quite sure how to get there. But if it's living on there somehow, I'd like to know. I'd like to know, you know, where this show lives. But my name is Miranda Morales, your host of this show, the Twitterless heroine herself, the ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants, and of course, the hashtag Queen of Soft Style. And, well, you're wondering, that's such a cool tagline. I need everyone to know about it. Well, you are in luck because you can get your own Queen of Soft Style shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And there you can find a whole variety of awesome shirts, all available there to support thechairshot.com. You have Always Use Your Head, the hashtag journalism shirt. We also have one, it kind of snuck under, like I didn't see this one, but now that I see it, I love it. It's Chairshot Worldwide, which, I mean, love it. Also, you have hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, Chairshot 316, and of course, then now and forever, Baron Corbin Sucks. So a whole variety of shirts. Get them all in the style of soft. It's a little bit extra money, but your body will thank you. I promise you. I promise you. But more importantly, the Queen of Soft Style shirt is there. I have to admit, I just bought my own shirt. I did that just recently. I don't know why it took me so long to do this, but I mean, I should have done it as soon as it came out. Because think about it. If you were to have your own shirt, I mean, that would be the first shirt that you would buy. It'd be the first thing you'd want. Maybe nobody understands it. That's fine. But I will go around all day wearing my shirt. It's mine. Like, with the design and my, you know, hashtag Miranda. It's mine. And so the fact that it took me a little bit to buy it, yes, like, you know, that's a little bit on me. However, the process of ordering with ProWrestlingTees.com, super easy, super fast. You can use PayPal. You can use a card. Lots of other cool deals as well. You have mystery bags and grab bags and mystery pins that you can also include in your order. And ProWrestlingTees.com, it supports independent wrestlers all over the U.S., other podcasts. So if for some reason, maybe you're not a fan of us, which I don't know why. We're great people. We're awesome. Give it some time. You can go to ProWrestlingTees.com to support, again, a variety of other wrestlers and podcasts from all over. So do yourself a favor. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. And again, thechairshot.com with the best resource on the internet for all your pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. You can find thechairshot.com on social media. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at thechairshot.com. Don't forget to use the hashtag #UseYourHead.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And I can't, I mean, so this is a video segment, or not segment, but video-wise, I can see my co-host can see me. You can't see us, unfortunately. I apologize for that. And by apologize, I mean, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about it. But my co-host, seeing the excitement on his face that we timed that so well, I mean, I'm very proud of us. We're starting off this show pretty well. I'd like to introduce everyone to my co-host at this time, the lovely Greg DeMarco.
We nailed it. Like, I was so excited that I like waited long enough for you to actually do it, whereas before you usually jump the gun.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just I was so excited.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I did want to bring up, you know, you talked about, you know, how people getting t-shirts over at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot can support independent wrestling. You know another way people can support independent wrestling, Miranda?
What is that, Greg?
They could actually subscribe at powerslam.tv, where you can see over 6,000 hours of content. You can see over 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling, which is just such a good thing. I can't even do that without laughing.
Is Combat Zone Wrestling included in the 6,000 hours of content?
I believe so. It's definitely not included in the 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions. It's 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling. I'm pissing off all the Combat Zone Wrestling fans out there. Look, both of you, I'm sorry. Go on over to powerslam.tv. Get a free month. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Don't listen to me talk about it because they made us a commercial.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
That's powerslam.tv. I had 42 seconds to laugh, and I still didn't get it all out. That's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. And you know what? Adam Cole got to start at Combat Zone Wrestling, so I can't hate it that much. So, give me your honest perspective. When did I become this bad about Adam Cole? Like when? Because I mean, it definitely escalated at some point. Like it escalated when he became champion. Like,
no, I think it's escalated a bit more since he's been on TV more, due to the whole Survivor Series buildup. I feel like, I mean, you got your triple dose of Adam Cole, and now you're having the withdrawals. You don't see Adam Cole as much. So you're just pushing him in through sound bites and talking about him nonstop.
I'm basically shoving Adam Cole down everybody's throat, is what you're saying.
Wow. Yeah. You've become the Vincent Man of Adam Cole?
Maybe. And you know what? You know what I have to say about that to people?
You're welcome.
Getting the timing down on the boom.
Yes.
Look, blame Patrick. He asked for it. I wasn't going to worry about it. I had a hard time finding it. Then he had to say something on air, and now we have that.
Look, no one minds the boom soundbite. The boom soundbite has its place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone loves the boom. That's not the problem. The problem, as you're alluding to, is that you it's just now, you know, becoming more and more involved in shows, multiple shows apparently. I would imagine when the Wednesday Night Wars is being recorded later this week, every other word that's coming out of your mouth is going to be a boom. Brittany, so, Nicole's not even going to be able to talk because it's just boom.
She's going to be very excited because she has asked for the boom soundbite as well. So she's going to be quite excited.
We all can appreciate the boom soundbite until it takes over the show. And then... What
are you saying... that I, Greg DeMarco, would ever allow sound bites to take over a show? Is that what you're saying? I feel insulted.
That is what I'm saying.
By that insinuation. Like, I feel as though I don't know.
Well, look, we're not going to dilly-dally around. We're just going to get straight to brass tacks.
We're not going to dilly-dally around. We've been on the air for 11 minutes.
I mean, that's true. This is well, we've actually kept it on pro wrestling, so I'm not considering dilly-dallying. Okay. I'm actually considering this being on topic because we're talking about pro wrestling.
Okay.
Which at the beginning of these shows usually doesn't happen.
Just wait until the New Year's edition of the shit show. It's going to be
oh,
insane.
Yeah, the shit show.
Both New Year's editions of the shit show, because I think we're going to do two of them.
The shit show, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be
if you don't know
that.
Since we kind of made the pseudo announcement on the Greg DeMarco show, if you don't know what we're talking about, whenever Patrick was gone, we would kind of cross the streams and do the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco, super such good shit show pal. And we did it out of necessity in the past, and then it actually was out of necessity the past two times because of how crazy time frames were back then. You guys liked it. You guys enjoyed it.
The fans liked it.
I wanted more of it.
Shocked.
I think there
might need
to be a shit show t-shirt. Just
oh
yes.
Oh man.
If I make a shit show t-shirt before Patrick gets a t-shirt,
such
that would just be amazing.
Oh god. Oh man, now you're just are you sure you still want Patrick around to have another shirt that is not a Patrick O'Dowd shirt? Like That's cutting it deep, man.
Maybe I'll eventually just make a Patrick O'Dowd shirt that just says the Patrick O'Dowd shirt on it.
I would wear that. I would rock that shirt. I would rock just the Patrick
I don't
O'Dowd
have a
shirt.
I don't. Like, he's all worried about not having a shirt. I don't have a shirt.
Well, I mean, that's true, but all these shirts are your shirts,
no,
you know?
They're not. They're not all my shirt. We're not going to have that conversation
obviously
again.
Obviously, my shirt is not your shirt.
Your shirt, here's the mistake I made that I realized, but it's way too late now. Your shirt doesn't even have any reference to the damn website on it.
That is also a true statement.
Not even a logo,
but, you know,
nothing.
You can edit it. We can get a newer version up there with the Chair Shot logo.
Hashtag Queen of Stoff Style 2.0.
Yes, 2.0. Yes.
Nah, it's too soon. Yes. It's too soon for that. But you never know. I could just go rogue.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
All right. Topify this thing. Let's do some stuff.
Let's do some stuff. Yes, because this is a wrestling podcast. How I'm not quite sure, but we talk about it. You know, sometimes, most of the time.
And we gotta. I mean, knowing what you have planned. I mean, this is. Could get ugly.
This is, I mean, talking about some good shit show pal shit, there's a big event happening this coming Wednesday, tomorrow night, actually. Well, when you're listening to this, it will be Wednesday, so tonight in your case. But we have a epic setup for the Wednesday Night Wars this week. Both NXT and Dynamite have announced that they're opening. Well, first, they've both announced their opening matchups. They have both announced that these matchups will run commercial free. So get all of your devices out, people. Get your tablet, your phone, your laptop, your TV. And luckily, we live in a society now where that's a lot easier.
I'm only laughing because like to 20% of those things actually work in your house. So that's why I'm laughing.
I have two devices right now. Two devices just like, and I'm not even trying. Imagine if I tried, Greg. I have another laptop over here, a TV over there. A tablet's not working. So you're right about some of my things not working. It's a glorified phone stand right now. But this is, I mean, if any time you're going to simulcast anything, it seems like tomorrow night is the night. So we have, I was just going to go straight to it. So NXT has announced the opening match for tomorrow night. Adam Cole versus Finn Balor.
For the NXT Championship, and like you said, it will be commercial free, which they did back when Adam Cole went one-on-one with Matt Riddle the first time that the two shows went head-to-head. AEW has their own, you know, head-to-head match commercial free, which is actually a good match too.
Yes, so that will be Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Lucha Brothers.
And I think it's going to be a great match. I do want to point something out. Because AEW tries real hard to not like be WWE. NXT did this commercial thing first, commercial-free thing first. Like, got to call a spade here. Like, that was their doing first, and then AEW came on board with it. I'm not saying they did it first because they did it months ago. They announced it first this week as well.
Very true, they were
first to the party. AEW's doing it. End of the day, it doesn't really matter. They're just trying to prevent channel changers. Whatever. People are going to do that. I'm not going to watch them simultaneously. I never do. In fact, I probably will watch both of them on a slump, somewhat of a delay anyway, because I live on the West Coast, and that's just how things work. But, yeah, the commercial-free thing, I mean, I don't know. Half the time they show stuff during the commercials anyway in the corner. Like, I feel like it's more of this sales marketing gimmick ploy that's not as big of a deal as people think it is. But it works. So I guess I can't really knock it, right? Because it works.
It does. And like you said, this was originally NXT had announced that they were going to be running this commercial free. They did this before with the initial launch of NXT on USA a few months ago. So this is not new. This is new territory for AEW, but also why the hell not? You know, I mean, why not run their own match commercial free if they can do it? If anything, it really puts the stakes high for both matches. Not necessarily that they are going to be comparing the other match to themselves, if that makes sense. I truly believe that Adam Cole and Finn Balor are going to come in and they're going to, you know, blow the roof off the place, have a fantastic match, and be concerned about them. Same thing with Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Lucha Brothers. They're just going to be concerned about their match. The fans win, I think, ultimately, either way. But it is going to be a very kind of divisive time for viewers. I mean, you mentioned it yourself. You will pick one. I think there's going to be a lot of fans that pick one. And to be honest, if I were to pick one, my investment is in Adam Cole versus Finn Balor. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second about the investment. I mean, as a lot of people can already allude to, Greg's, you know, pretty big Adam Cole fan. So that's one. But also, I mean, this has been a storyline that has gone through since, you know, NXT has debuted on USA. There is a rich and deep storyline here, whereas Dynamite, and this can be actually kind of a larger metaphor to AEW's approach to Dynamite too, is it's going to be a fantastic wrestling match. There is some storyline involved in this, but not very much. I mean, you have Kenny Omega in his own kind of story in his world, same thing with Adam Page. Of course, the Lucha Brothers still being kind of a dominant tag team, but I mean, you're going to see some fantastic wrestling and lots of spots, but maybe that's just going to be as deep as it goes. And for some fans, that's just exactly what they want from it. Whereas NXT, I think, is at this point a little bit more storyline driven when it comes to their big matches. So going into talking about Finn Balor versus Adam Cole, on the funny comical side, this one Greg and I are personally interested in because I alluded to this also on social media back when NXT debuted on USA. It's my boyfriend versus Greg's boyfriend. Our boyfriends are going to be fighting, so I'm in Finn Balor's corner. Obviously, you guys don't.
Why'd you give it away? We should have made people guess who's in whose corner. I mean, they wouldn't have known.
Yes, of course, they would have never ever.
They would have never guessed that I was pulling for Adam Cole.
Because
no one would have ever guessed that I was.
And I mean, if you're brand new to the show, I mean, we haven't talked about Finn Balor's dick yet. So if you're interested, you can go back to some other shows. And we
it hasn't
all
been
about
as big of a focus, especially with the heel turn, and hasn't been as big of a focus.
Hasn't been as big of a focus, and with just different camera angles too. I feel like now that he's on NXT,
doesn't use those camera angles.
Damn, you know that's one thing I appreciated about the main.
You're welcome.
But.
My god, this is the difference between an audio show and a video show. Oh my goodness.
Yes, very. I'm overall very, very excited. I mean, I feel like this is something that they've been building on for weeks. The quality of the match is going to be outstanding.
I agree.
I think people will not change their channels. I mean, setting this will really truly set the tone of the rest of NXT for this coming Wednesday night. And so I think this is a beautiful decision by WWE to do this. And I also think they could do without the commercials for this long. I'm curious to then see how long this match really goes. It's, will it be 10, 15, 20? I'm very curious to see, because they could obviously do a fantastic match that is 20 minutes long if they really wanted to, but how long that translate into TV, I'm not quite sure.
Here's an interesting thing, I guess. Outside of an Iron Man match, when you know how long an Iron Man match is going to be, and if they announce an Iron Man match, could this be a spot where NXT just goes nuts and they go 60?
Because
you think about it, when you hit 30, when you hit 40, then you got people who are watching to see if they go 60, and you're going to extend it longer than the tag match at AEW. Are you going an hour commercial free at that point? I mean, that you talk about grabbing attention and garnering just a share of the market. I think going 60 would do that. I don't know if they can logistically. I don't know if they can. Like, I just don't know, or maybe they need to be like, wow, we only had 30 minutes, now we got to go to commercial. I don't know, but like, especially when they have other matches announced, I mean, that seems to me, I've said it before, like, NXT is running a kind of wrestling show that we just haven't seen anywhere, and that's not a knock on AEW. AEW is a variety show, like you said. The match that we talked about is not going to be very deep. They got other stuff on the show. Some of their anything with Cody is usually heavy storytelling. Some of their stuff is just more of the spot fest matches. They have a balanced show. I mean, I'm giving them credit for that. I just think NXT presents it in a way that feels more fresh, more new, all that. If anyone were to pull out a random 60-minute time limit draw on television, I feel like it would be NXT.
Yes, I feel that too. I think logistically it's not going to happen because they still need to make money. Money, cash is king. It's still WWE. If anyone
so
could
funny,
do it,
right?
It's Adam Cole.
So they do a 60-minute time limit draw, and then Mauro now is like, now 20 minutes of commercials just to make up for it.
But we got to fill in those commercials. But, it could be something that's very, very unique. And if they were to do it, absolutely. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, I mean, this truly feels just like a two-match show. There's just two matches that have really been announced, two matches that people are really, really interested in. So you could easily do a 60-minute, first match. And then you have time to fill in the rest of the hour, including the second championship match that will be happening later on that show. So yes, could they do it as far as the setup, the structure? Absolutely. But logistically and money wise, I just highly doubt that they will go maybe 30 at the most, but highly, highly doubt it. I mean, that's still time that they are losing money, not making money. And also, I mean, it is an interesting aspect to be on TV and really put that long of a match out. Ultimately, the attention span of wrestling fans, and I think just anyone watching a TV show, you know, wavers a little bit. So you may have fans that, if there is a lull moment within that match, does flip the channel, and maybe they don't want to risk that. You know, maybe it's easier to have a match that's a little bit more concise, but also really well put together, strong, but not dragging on too long where, you know, fans start, you know, stop paying attention to what's happening.
You know, it's so interesting. They really have only announced Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler and Adam Cole versus Finn Balor. And then they've also announced what's next for Angel Garza, and will NXT UK continue to impress ahead of Worlds Collide? And that's it. Like, I mean, again, this is they could do it. Like, I'm not saying,
but
if,
I mean, they
if
could.
They do it, look, if they do it, it's because they listen to our show. We all know that.
I mean, yes, yes. Obviously, yes.
There you go.
Yes, you're welcome.
Hey, Jeremy Borash.
You're welcome.
Oh gosh.
But honestly, like, here's the crazy thing about it. I really like the other match. Like, Adam Page and Kenny Omega, since Page left the Elite and has been teaming with Omega, they've been an entertaining duo. I'm one of the biggest Pentagon Jr. fans in the world. I love Pentagon Jr. Yeah, they had some stupid things they did with, you know, not tagging and stuff like that. And we saw the reports, and then 3 weeks later, the same reports about Chris Jericho's backstage meeting, because apparently he's a tag team specialist. Who knows? But I think that's going to be a great match. And when I watch it, and yes. I'll probably watch, you know, I watch them both, and I'll probably watch both on delay, because then I can fast forward the commercials, which apparently I won't have to worry about for these two matches, but the rest of the shows will have commercials. I think both are going to be really good and really entertaining. Now, if I were watching live, I would, like you, I would watch Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. 95% of the time, I'm going to watch the NXT match first and the NXT product first over AEW, just because NXT is literally my favorite show when it comes to professional wrestling. And I enjoy AEW. I know Patrick, during the Greg DeMarco show, kind of said he's tried to watch AEW and hasn't been able to get into it. I'm a little surprised by that as somebody who kind of grew up on Nitro and all of that. But I think I enjoy both shows. I have just...
Yes.
And we talk about this on Wednesday Night Wars. I think I've still enjoyed NXT more every single time. There have been some weeks where AEW came really close, though. And this strikes me as a week where AEW can come really close. They might even get me to enjoy a Young Bucks match because it's against SCU. So it's... Yeah, AEW on paper might even have the better show right now because they have more announced. But yeah, I would watch NXT first just because, in general, and of course because it's going to be kicked off with Adam Cole versus Finn Balor, which is going to be outstanding. You think they're going to move the title? Would they move the title here just for the attention?
I mean, would they? Probably not. I mean, as much as that kind of pains me, because I would love to see another Finn Balor NXT championship run. I think it's a good timing for him now that his character's kind of flipped in more of that heel style, or just heel character. Because right now, Adam Cole's yes, the way that they set up, War Games, he was more of a heel, but even, you know, in Survivor Series, you know, he was much more of a tweener. And even now, I mean, fans love him, and he could easily transition to a face if he really wanted to. I think also just with the Undisputed Era, they're still, I guess, technically more heel, but again, they also ride that wave of tweener a lot just because fans truly, truly like them. So they could easily flip them into Balor being a heel champ and Cole chasing, and that would be fresh and that would be new, something different from Adam Cole. Because also too, a lot of people are curious about what this means for Adam Cole in the future. You know, will he continue to dominate as NXT champion? What will that mean for him in the future? You know, will he end up moving to a Raw or SmackDown in the future? Does this allow a segue for that? But ultimately, too, I mean, there are other challengers that are coming up. I mean, Finn Balor won this opportunity from a three-way with Ciampa and Keith Lee. So, I mean, there's people lined up that they could he can continue to have great matches with. But ultimately, they're going to have to decide, you know, to take the belt off of Adam Cole. And yeah, I mean, they put a lot of advertisement into this match. It could be a really great way to just build on that momentum and have Balor win the title. However, it's very unlikely. I feel like we talked earlier about storyline continuity and just storyline changes happening within Raw and SmackDown. And we talked about this on the Greg DeMarco show, where you can listen to on thechairshot.com. Your home of all
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You're welcome.
Yes, plugs in the middle of the show. But We did talk about storylines kind of evolving and changing and not necessarily going into matches right away into pay-per-views. And I feel like this storyline with the NXT Championship has done that, and it's done it very beautifully. I mean, this has been, you know, months in the making. And the fact that we're just getting this now is a really good sign that WWE's having patience with their roster, but this buildup is exactly, you know, built to this, to the point where now they can sell it as, you know, no commercials, and people are going to want to tune in because we've been waiting for this, you know, now for almost 2 months. So I truly do think that, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic match, but I just, as much as it breaks my heart, I don't think the title is going to change.
I don't think it does either. I honestly think if we get into the other title match, I think there's more of an opportunity there for a title change than with this one.
Yes.
It's funny that we talked about the storytelling and how Raw had, you know, their storytelling, Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, but really the long-term program is Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. SmackDown, you have The Fiend and Daniel Bryan, but they just kind of threw The Fiend versus The Miz in the middle of it. NXT, the storyline has still been Adam Cole eventually having to be challenged by Tommaso Ciampa. But Ciampa didn't win the number one contender match. Finn Balor did, like, that feels like another inserted continuation match, and we could see some outside interference. There's a lot there, like you talked about so eloquently, by the way. Great job. You don't need me to tell you that, but it was, you look at, like, the Undisputed Era. They're baby faces at this point. Like they're not even tweeners. Like, they may not act like baby faces, but it was funny. I saw there was a highlight video from TakeOver 25, and I forgot that was Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. And Adam Cole was the face, and Johnny Gargano was the heel, according to that crowd. Even though Gargano had been full babyface at that point, he was the NXT champion. He won it WrestleMania weekend over Adam Cole. And this is the match where Cole won his belt from Gargano. And, I mean, they did the yay boo punches. And the yay was for Adam Cole, and the boo was for Johnny Gargano. Like, people just love. And that's the thing about heels. We've talked about it before. The best heels eventually turn face because people just appreciate what they do so much and how well they perform that they're going to end up turning babyface. And I feel like it's like at some point you have to turn either Adam Cole or the entire Undisputed Era. And I feel like we're closer than ever to that happening. I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Just because they're so over. Now, the big question for me is, do you turn the entire group, or do you only turn Adam Cole? That is, to me, the more intriguing. And then if Adam Cole's going to feud with the Undisputed Era, he doesn't need to be champion. So then maybe you do have Balor win, and the issue becomes Balor versus Ciampa. Because Ciampa's issue isn't with Adam Cole. Ciampa wants the belt. So you could have Finn Balor go over. So let's do this, if I may. Miranda, since it's your show,
yes,
you know,
yes,
might I?
You're already going to, so you might as well.
Suggestion. Let's do the percentage odds, because okay. I think that would be interesting to see. So, percentage chance that Finn Balor wins the NXT Championship on tomorrow night, tonight when you're listening, tonight's edition of NXT?
I'm going to put it not fairly high, but higher than maybe some other people would. I'm going to put it at 48%.
I'm surprised you went that high, since you were saying it wasn't going to happen earlier.
Well, you know, I just love me some Finn Balor. I mean, my heart says one thing and my mind says another, Greg. So
what percentage chance would your brain say?
Oh, yeah, the brain part, probably half of that, like 20.
Okay.
Two.
We're going to use your brain here. Because the thing is, I want to be higher than you, because I do think there's a better chance than you do of him winning. Because my heart would probably say, you know, 0% chance. But my brain is pretty much 50-50 on this, to be honest with you. Like, I would say 50% chance that Finn Balor is going to win the NXT Championship because, yeah, we've got TakeOver coming up, and then, you know, we've got Worlds Collide, then we got TakeOver in February, then we're going to build to WrestleMania. TakeOver in February, by the way, February 16th. It might be somebody's birthday. Just saying, if anybody wants to fly Greg DeMarco to Portland to go see TakeOver Portland, you know. I went to TakeOver.
Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing that out there. But I do think that, I know, it's heartbroken.
Man, it is heartbroken. Yeah,
So I really do, because this episode, because I know there's not going to be an episode next week or probably be a clip show or something like that, but it's going to say a lot about what direction they're going in. Because the one thing that you've got to be smart about is when you pull the trigger on something, and you don't want to wait too long. Like the thing about extending your storytelling is that you do run into the waiting too long to do something. And there's still some value in shock and surprise. And to me, there's tremendous value in shock and surprise around the Undisputed Era because they're so over. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can't shake the feeling that maybe something's going to happen tomorrow night with the Undisputed Era. Like, they didn't have as big of a role last week on NXT. None of them wrestled. They were out there a little bit. They came out at the end. They came out early, they came out late, basically. But, like, depending on Bobby Fish's injury situation, you got Roddy and you got Kyle. Like, could they join up with Finn Balor? Finn Balor teased the whole thing with the OC at one point. Like, could the Balor Club become a thing? Could he kind of take over the mantle of the Undisputed Era and Cole goes off on his own? Like, I think there could be something more. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe the Undisputed Era is going to be stronger than ever. Who knows? You know, if Fish is hurt, maybe we got to get the North American Championship off of Strong so Roddy and Kyle can be tag champs. Like, there's a lot of variables out there, and I just can't shake the feeling that something's going to happen with the Undisputed Era. Because I do think at minimum, Adam Cole needs to be a babyface. Maybe the whole Undisputed Era, I don't know. But to me, at some point, like Edge was such a good heel that people started cheering him. The Miz, like the fans turned The Miz babyface. I think it could happen to Adam Cole, and I think WWE is smart enough to run with it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Well, and this is just adding to the reason why this match is so must-see. There's so many layers to it, so many situations of what if, that I think as a fan, like, you're just truly invested in this. And ultimately, too, it's about what kind of wrestling fan are you? Are you more driven by wrestling and spots? Are you more driven by storyline? And ultimately, both of these are going to be fantastic wrestling matches. So you win either way. But this story can take you in a lot of different directions. And it's just one that, as a fan, you've been waiting to see. So I think this one, to me, is a little bit of a no-brainer as far as if I were to watch both of these live, which one am I going to watch? But as a fan, like, we are winning. Like, there's really no wrong decision that you can make. If you decide to watch Dynamite with Paige and Kenny Omega versus the Lucha Brothers, I mean, I'm sure it will be just a fantastic match. And, you know, I'm sure that they will plant some seeds as well in that regarding maybe Adam Page. There's been a lot of rumors and some seeds planted from last week about Adam Page, possibly turning. We've seen Kenny Omega kind of on this up and down win-loss streak and primarily losing streak. With wins and losses being so important in the rankings, the Lucha Brothers will need to win this in order to remain contenders for the tag team titles. So there's some story that is threaded in there. It's not as apparent, and I don't think it's going to be as much of the forefront, but that is something that I do appreciate about AEW, that the storyline can be a little bit more subtle, but I think it's also peaks and valleys, that they'll kind of weave it in and out of matches as needed. And if the wrestling needs to predominantly tell the story, then the wrestling will be able to tell the story. But if the stories or the scenarios need to be able to be on the forefront a little bit more, they can do that. And I do think that AEW does a fairly good job of that, of what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, like I said before, I think they have a much better balanced show than maybe they get credit for sometimes. The way they announce things and do things, like celebrating 100,000 tickets sold and stuff like that, hurt them. I think it takes the focus away from what they're doing well. And they are doing a lot of things well, and I do think they don't get the credit for it. They are still learning this. I know I suddenly sound like an apologist, whatever, but... But I do think, and I'm not saying that to harp on them and tell people to support them, but I think there's more stuff they're doing well than people are willing to give them credit for.
Yes. Well, you brought up a good point, and I've been wanting to ask this, and I think we just got very caught up in these matches, but really another big aspect, a big headline of this, is that this is almost feeling like a tit-for-tat scenario where NXT announced that they were going to do a big match, first match, commercial free, and then AEW announced a big match, first match, also commercial free. And we'll see as far as what happens, but this to me feels like the most overt action that AEW has done to go up against NXT. And I'm curious, as your thoughts, are we going to see more of this? Will we see AEW do these things, these actions, and maybe small, maybe big, but I think in this case, this is a pretty big action, that step that they're taking to combat NXT. Are we going to see more of this?
I got a strange answer for you, honestly, that maybe I don't think people are expecting. I hope so. I really do. I've said it before, and I said it when the shows were announced, especially when NXT was announced going to USA Network. For some reason, we want to be too smart. We want to sound so smart in saying that it's not really a war. When in all honesty, that's what's best for, quote-unquote, best for business. There being an actual Wednesday Night War is the best thing that can happen for both of these brands. And pro wrestling in general. AEW can't compete with Raw or SmackDown. We all know that. But they can compete with NXT, and NXT can compete with AEW. And it's been a competition. I mean, last week, they had the exact same viewership. Like I know the ratings are something that we don't want to focus on too much, but they literally had the exact same viewership between the two shows. So I do think the tit-for-tat is... I do think it's something that will continue. And it's something I want to see continue. I want the two shows to have a chip on their shoulder. I fully believe in life that people are more successful and better when they have a chip on their shoulder. I live my life with a chip on my shoulder. I firmly believe that you do too. And it's something that to me is, never lose that chip. It's actually a saying that a college basketball coach uses a lot that I heard in a recent interview with him. And I think both companies are acting with a chip on their shoulder. And I think it's great for the product. I think it's great for everybody but the really annoying subset of fans that are just so gung-ho about one side or the other. But they're going to be annoying anyway. But honestly, this is what, whether they know it or not, this is what people ask for. And to me, this is what's going to really make it get good in 2020.
Yes, and AEW has been more overt in their actions recently. So they started when AEW came about, you know, Cody specifically was very adamant that this is, we're not trying to be competition against WWE. We're just trying to be our own wrestling company. And I think there's definitely a segment. I mean, I truly believe there's an element of that where, you know, they are truly concerned about being the first them and not the next WWE, because also history has shown them, luckily they have history on their side to say, when you focus more about beating WWE and less about your identity as a company, you're not going to succeed. So I do honestly think that there is that element in there. However, as of late, and this, I think also a lot of this started around the Thanksgiving timeframe with some of the newer advertisements for AEW on TNT, where there was a lot more direct quoting of different, you know, media outlets about how much better AEW Dynamite is over NXT. So that was really the first sign of them being more aggressive in their marketing campaign, saying, we do know that we have competition and we're going after them. And then something like this, where now they're, you know, having kind of a competing commercial-free slot at the beginning of Dynamite, they're becoming more aggressive. And I think they're realizing that. They're realizing that, yes, in some ways, you can't be concerned about everything that WWE does, and in also this case, NXT, because if you focus too much on that, you're going to not focus on who you are as a company and building your identity and your brand. And your brand just can't be that, we're not WWE, or we're an alternative to WWE. You got to figure out other elements that make you who you are. But in that same token, people love competition. You know, this wars was branded by the fans. The fans helped create this. So if you don't feed into it a little bit, one, you're losing out on a fan base, and two, you're losing out on money. So why not feed a little bit into this as a war? And I think ultimately, too, because it's NXT and it's not, it's WWE, but it's not seen as WWE as well, that is actually working to AEW's benefit, where they're not necessarily going after the conglomerate, you know, of WWE. They're coming after, you know, NXT, which is really the most closely associated brand of WWE. You know, it's a fair fight between the two brands. It's really apples and apples. So I can appreciate what, you know, in the new kind of strategy that AEW has with going up against NXT. Granted, I don't foresee NXT doing the same thing, but they don't need to. And I think that's what's going to also keep AEW edgy, which is an aspect that fans like. That's one thing they say that they miss out of WWE now, is there's no edginess. There isn't, you know, something about the company that makes it look cool and different. And I do think that AEW is doing that with their approach. Granted, I understand some of the comments you made too about some of their approach to social media and some of the things they do. But I think more fans are perceiving that as edgy than sloppy. And that's still a win for AEW. If they can get a fan base because they're doing something different, maybe the execution isn't the best, but you know, same thing with WWE. They do things that aren't executed well either. But at least AEW is doing it slightly differently, or doing it in kind of just an edgier manner, that it's the fan base is still being drawn to it.
There's so many layers to what you just said. So many layers. I said on the shit show a couple weeks ago, and that the original phrase I said was that the WWE, that NXT was out AEWing AEW. And to me, it was because they were doing a better job of being the alternative. I think when WWE realized AEW wanted to be the alternative, they basically said, we have the alternative sitting right here. We're now going to give it the platform. And that's what they did with NXT. And I think AEW realized, okay, that's a real thing. I think they kind of dismissed it at first and realized that's a real thing. And NXT really is a true alternative. And now that's kind of who they're fighting with. But wrestling fans so often complain that WWE doesn't give them what they want, right? Give us what we want versus give us what we need. And at first, AEW fans were all gung-ho about the war. But then they were like, no, it's not a war, because I think they were worried about losing. And of course, they didn't lose at first, and people went all crazy. And then NXT rebounded, and there was all this back and forth. Now they're neck and neck, and people are like, some people want to call it a war, and some people don't want to call it a war. Now I think AEW is giving the people what they need, and that's the war. People need the war. When Cody mentioned, when Cody made reference on air a couple weeks ago, where he said that his finisher was being botched on two different channels, and referring to NXT, and when Sami Zayn months ago, during that stupid electric stair segment, which should sit in a vault somewhere.
Oh, God. So, yeah.
Mentioned AEW, people lost their minds. And it just it goes back to the Attitude Era, when the first time that shows would mention each other, fans went crazy over it. It generates excitement, good or bad. It's, again, it goes back to, you know, what I try to do as a writer. Eliciting emotion. That's what it's all about. You don't want people to be ho-hum. You want people to love it or hate it. If they love it or hate it, they're going to get invested and they're going to buy in. For everything that I complain about the AEW fans on social media when I was on there, I'm still watching, still paying attention to the stupid crap they were doing. So it doesn't take away from, you know, from the product in my mind as much as people like to complain about it. So, you know, short story long, the war's a good thing, the battle's a good thing, and I commend AEW if they're willing to go down that road. Now, I know they said the commercial was done by TNT and not by AEW or whatever, and the commercial was poor timing. Look, it takes time to make those things. So I'm sure when they started the commercial, that's when AEW was beating NXT in the ratings. When they released the commercial, it was the week that NXT had just beaten AEW in the ratings. So timing wasn't the best on that, but I think the intent is to kind of generate that feeling of adversity or animosity between the two brands, and I think it's a good thing. And it's only been a couple months. Like, that's the crazy part.
We're
because we've lived through the Monday Night Wars, we kind of feel like we can read ahead in this book, so to speak, of the Wednesday Night Wars, and maybe that's going to be to the detriment of the Wednesday Night Wars. Who knows? But really, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what twists and turns are going to take place. Yeah. We still haven't had the big jumps yet that you know, we're going to take a couple years to probably happen. So there's a lot still to come.
You're right. And even though we feel like we know how the story ends because we've seen it, and I not only with, you know, WWE versus WCW, but we've seen it with other promotions. We've seen, you know, what happens with Impact, and we've seen it on a smaller scale with other promotions. You know, we've seen enough competition try and break through that we feel like, okay, we've seen this story. Granted, you know, that allows AEW to have a lot of points of reference and points of history that they can use as an area to learn. But because we haven't seen someone at this level come to WWE, that's a whole other element to the story that we should question a little bit more, that we can't just necessarily say that we know exactly how this is going to end, or if anything, putting bets on how many weeks. We're in a whole new era, and even calling in, you know, aspects of social media, that's a whole new element to this war that didn't exist, you know, 20 years ago. So there's other elements, there's new wrestlers, there's lots of things that add to this story to make it really unique and very different. But that also should be the exciting part about this. I think as fans, as much as we stay tuned every week, you have the loyalists on each side that are already predicting what's going to happen and what that's going to look like. And even many of us, I think there's a lot of people ultimately that say this will be great for about a year, but then eventually AEW is going to go by the wayside, just like all the other promotions. But we just don't know that yet. We just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, to predict what we've seen in just the past few months, I think that's something that would have been hard for a lot of people to look at with ratings, and even just to see how close and how even they've been. And even just these little things, again, going back for the tit for tat, that's happening and the changing of marketing approach. I don't know how many people would have predicted it in the way that it did. So, you know, to take that and then add 6 months to it, who knows what we're going to be at by next summer. That is the exciting part, though, of this. And I think that's what also, you know, both companies will have to, you know, just just watch over, but as fans too, I think we also need a lot more time to be able to predict patterns and predict behavior and predict, you know, ratings. So if anything, we're just still in such an infancy phase that, you know, we can try and do that, but it's just, it's not going to work. And it's maybe just, it's also distracting from enjoying and appreciating what's on TV right now. I do want to allude a bit to the main events, likely main events for both of these shows, not necessarily confirmed, but more than likely, because this is also, I think, an interesting dynamic of this way that both of these shows are set up. Not formally announced, but likely the main event of NXT will be Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. For Dynamite, it will likely be Chris Jericho versus Jungle Boy for the AEW Heavyweight Championship. And so, when you look at this on paper, again, going back to NXT, really pushing a storyline-driven match, something that's been building for months, that's been interwoven through Survivor Series and War Games, and you're finally getting this match one-on-one. I mean, again, I think that people are just going to be gravitated and drawn to it. Jungle Boy versus Jericho, that is something that just got set up recently. I think it's a really great platform for Jungle Boy to have this, and AEW has done this consistently through the past few months, is giving a spotlight to people that maybe you wouldn't have originally thought, or thinking that maybe they're really going to push those main stars in the championship matches in the beginning. But they've really been, you know, allowing people like Darby Allin and Jungle Boy to have their time, which I think most wrestling fans can appreciate. But looking at how both of these shows are going to end, or at least where people are going to end up at these shows, I mean, to me, honestly, there's no comparison. Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler, I mean, that is what is going to carry people through the rest of the night. And I think if, you know, at the end of the night, if you have that high viewership, I think it's because, you know, Adam Cole and Finn Balor started the night strong, and Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler ended that night and kept the fan base there.
You know what I find most interesting about this whole scenario with these two matches? AEW has the biggest star of the four people in these two matches. Like, Chris Jericho is by far the biggest star of the four participants. But the better match is definitely Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler's been champion for so long. Even if you consider the hiccup, because when I look at a champion's run, I tend to look at, if they lose the belt and win it right back, to me, it's still one big, long, continuous run. Like, I think there's value in having somebody lose and winning a belt back and avenging that loss, like with what happened with Kairi Sane for Shayna Baszler. And if you look at it that way, she's pretty much been champion since, like, April of 2018. So she's been a crazy, long, reigning champion and dominant champion. And I kind of think Rhea Ripley might win this match and win the NXT Women's Championship so that Baszler can head into the Royal Rumble. Because I think Baszler's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble match, just like I think Roman's going to win the Men's Royal Rumble match. And I think this sets things up nicely for Baszler versus Becky at WrestleMania 36. So Jericho, I think, is the bigger star of everybody in between the two matches. And he will command some eyeballs for that reason. There's a Chris Jericho factor, and AEW has been really smart in picking Jericho to kind of lead the charge, because he will draw some eyeballs, especially from their desired fan base, because he's Chris Jericho. Just being Chris Jericho is going to garner some attention for him. I think AEW missed the boat on the Scorpio Sky Chris Jericho situation. And let me elaborate a little more on that. I hated the fact that Scorpio Sky ended up tapping out in that match. I think what would have been better is for Scorpio Sky to have hope spot after hope spot, and then the Inner Circle interfere, causing Scorpio Sky to win by disqualification. I think that some form of a cage match or something like that between Jericho and Scorpio Sky to keep the Inner Circle out, that to me would top whatever match NXT was going to put on in their main event slot, even Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley. Because I think that That's you're telling a story over a longer period of time. You're putting on a match that people don't always see on television in a cage match, and I think that would have, and people just love Scorpio Sky, and I feel like they you know, shot their shot a little too soon on that one, and could have milked it for more. And again, you know, some of that playlist mentality, some of that Booker and me coming out, where I see opportunity, and I see opportunity wasted. But given the two matches that we have, Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley is definitely the better match of the two. And Rhea Ripley's got some serious momentum behind her and some serious fan support behind her. People are all about Rhea Ripley right now. Yeah. And this is the perfect follow-up to what they did with Rhea Ripley Survivor Series weekend. She got a win over Charlotte Flair on the Friday night. She won, almost single-handedly won War Games on Saturday night. And then she almost single-handedly won the Women's Survivor Series match on Sunday night. Like, they have definitely positioned Rhea Ripley as a world beater. And if she loses to Shayna Baszler, then I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. Like, they would, unless there's interference or some crazy shenanigans, but a clean loss would just be asinine at this point for Rhea Ripley. And I think NXT is going to end with Rhea Ripley's crowning moment. I really do. Which is crazy because I was leaning, you know, 50-50 on Balor winning. And I can't see both win, so Cole probably wins somehow. But this seems to me to be the moment. And I do think it's the better match, like you were saying. I think that this blows away Jungle Boy versus Chris Jericho. And no offense to Jungle Boy, but he just can't compete with a well-built story over months and months and months. Like, when Rhea Ripley came out, that first edition of NXT where she came out, she was a surprise. No one thought Rhea Ripley was going to be there, and she immediately stepped to Shayna Baszler. And Baszler, they've played that brilliantly, where Baszler kind of said she didn't deserve to be there, but it's like somewhat afraid of Rhea Ripley, but still maintaining the Shayna Baszler character. Shayna Baszler has really only lost twice. You know, well, she lost to Ember Moon, and Ember Moon was champion. Then she beat her. She lost to Kairi Sane. Then she beat Kairi Sane. And she got her shoulders pinned to the mat by Rhea Ripley in War Games. And now this is the follow-up. So every time someone's beat Shayna Baszler, she got it back. And we'll see if that happens here or if Rhea Ripley has her number. I'm super intrigued by this because I think this is where you put the belt on Rhea Ripley and you finally have Shayna Baszler put somebody over, which they missed the boat with Asuka. Remember, Asuka didn't put anybody over. Asuka left and went to Raw or SmackDown, and then they had to crown a new champion a different way. She never actually put Ember Moon over, which was fine in the end because Ember Moon ended up going up anyway. But yeah, to me, this is Rhea Ripley's. I think this is what happens. I really do.
Yes. Well, and talking about how well, you know, that whole Survivor Series weekend went for Rhea Ripley, I mean, Shayna Baszler ended, you know, Survivor Series, you know, winning that triple threat match. And though she didn't necessarily end on top in the last exact moments, I mean, she dominated that match and she, you know, beat technically Becky Lynch and Bayley. So talking about how well that will set her up in the future for a run in the Women's Royal Rumble. I mean, absolutely, she is someone that we would see. I mean, we were already talking about that just this year in the Royal Rumble. And a year from now, after all the momentum that she's built and what she's developed, I mean, it screams it even more now. And then to actually have her go into a program with Becky Lynch again, everything set up in Survivor Series really well. So this could be kind of that first in a domino effect going into the new year. And you were just talking about that earlier too, in the men's title match. This too, I think, could be done even better in the women's match, how this sets up 2020. It lays in the opportunity for Rhea Ripley to have a good run with the women's championship in NXT. And it also allows a way for Shayna to move up into either the Raw or SmackDown title. And in this case, maybe we don't know which brand she's going to be on until she decides.
Yeah.
What belt she's going to go for. So a little bit of a wild card rule, maybe, or a wild card scenario.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
where she comes in undeclared almost in the Rumble. And then we find and we go through time as to seeing, you know, who is she going to face. And I think that could be a really interesting aspect of a potential story in the future. So this really does build up so much of potential into 2020. The main event of Dynamite, I mean, I think it's a great showcase for Jungle Boy. Again, I appreciate them having avenues for building up stars and having them in these main event titles. As far as the implications, it really doesn't. It will probably be a really solid match for Jungle Boy, but he's going to fall back into the mid card. It's still going to probably progress, you know, how, you know, well the Inner Circle works together and whatnot. But I don't see this really progressing any stories going into 2020. And I think that's an important thing that AEW really needs to think about, is how they're going to build momentum for 2020. Yes, wrestling fans maybe not aren't as active during this time of year because of the holidays or whatnot, but you know, it is important to keep them engaged so that you don't lose them, because it's easier to keep a fan than to build a new one. So you don't want to lose any storyline continuity or interest. You want to keep that momentum up. So, you know, I do think that, and maybe it's just, you know, what we'll see in 2020 as far as how they build their main events in the future. Again, I think it's finding that balance of giving opportunities for mid-carders, for your newer guys to be up against the veterans. I think it's a really smart idea, but ultimately you are in a war, and if you're going to be more cognizant of that in your marketing and your strategies, then you also need to be more cognizant of that in how you build your cards. And ultimately, doing the same thing over and over again may not work. You may have to bring out the big guns sometimes. And that will be something I'm interested in seeing with AEW in the new year. So we have a pretty good Wednesday night ahead of us. I'm very, very, very excited for it. We'll be interested in getting your thoughts and feedback on social media. You can follow me at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow Greg, though he's not really on social media that much, at Chairshot Greg on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can go also to the Chairshot at Chairshot.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to get all of your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, post on social media. Let us know what you think of this week's Wednesday Night Wars. I'll be very interested to see really a lot of the social media interaction, too, between these first two matches. Who's watching what? What are they noticing? What's standing out to them? Because I also think getting that fan perspective will be interesting with the ratings as well. Because that's one thing. I mean, ultimately, people can say whatever they want, but the ratings tell the truth. So we'll have to wait a few days and to see how well each of these shows perform. Speaking of shows, we announced this earlier on the Greg DeMarco show. We will be having some programming changes over the next few weeks. So we record this show on Tuesday nights. The next two Tuesday nights will be holidays. You have Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So we'll be changing up a little bit of our programming as far as recording timelines. That also includes probably doing another hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco show, super such good shit pal show. I think we're at five, six, seven. All of the extra numbers. But that is a super show with myself and Greg, where we combine our superpowers together for one big giant show. So we will likely be recording that over the next few weeks. We are scheduled to do another hashtag Miranda show before the end of the year. So if you are a fan of the show, thank you. And just know that we will still be recording over the next few weeks. Even though the holidays are coming up, wrestling never stops. So we need to make sure that we are on top of this ish. So we will continue to record. And again, you can find the hashtag Miranda Show, the Greg DeMarco Show on thechairshot.com. You know, network of podcasts there is fantastic. There's a whole variety of wrestling and non-wrestling shows. Bandwagon Nerds is a new one. If you're just a plain nerd, then you can listen to that. But lots of fantastic podcasts available on thechairshot.com. Very fortunate to be able to be part of that radio network and to be able to interact and talk with all of you. So thank you very much to all of the listeners. Any parting words, Greg? I mean, not that I care, but, you know, I'll let you say your piece.
That's it. That's all I really had.
Fair. Fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy this week's Wednesday Night Wars. We hope you enjoy the holiday season. And we'll see you next time.
See you. Viva la raza!
I got that passion that's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres por...